Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study. We are here waiting for you. Come on in, everybody.
Well, we hope and pray that you've had a blessed day today, and we praise God for his keeping power and for how he yet continues to sustain us in the midst of everything that we're going through. But truly, this is indeed the day the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. We look forward to what God is going to do tonight through this time that we're going to spend together around his word. We know for a fact that our faith is going to increase, for the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we just believe that something powerful is going to happen because we dare to gather ourselves on a Monday night to study God's word. Let us know that you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for our time together. I see a couple of you are joining, and then let us know on the streaming side as well. We're in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and Lady Kim, after she's had her sabbatical, she's back with us tonight. She's well rested, can't you tell, and still have sand in her eyes, and we're just excited that she's able to be a part of leading us through this time together tonight. But we praise God for each of you. And so let us know, somebody let us know you're getting a clear signal as we prepare for tonight's study. 2 Chronicles, that's the 26th chapter. And there are about 23 verses there, I believe. Is that right, Lady Kim? And so let's have prayer because we have a lot to cover before we jump into this word. But we're going to find tonight, Lady Kim, that even though a new king is coming into position, that a pattern is still present in terms of what has happened with those who have gone before him. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting. And I think there are some valuable lessons here tonight for us, even as we explore and try to position ourselves for leadership, as well as being over the people of God, and how important it is for us to learn from these lessons of these very powerful and successful kings who have all kind of fallen into a same pattern. Wouldn't you agree with me?
Amen. Yes.
But let's have prayer as we prepare for tonight. God, we bless you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. We're certainly grateful for you sustaining us and allowing us to gather tonight around your word. We believe, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway.
Yes, God.
And we know, dear Lord, that you're going to order our steps. For you said in your word that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by you. And so, God, we trust and believe that everything that you said in your word shall come to pass. And so we stand on your promises even tonight. And we decree and declare that no weapon that's formed against us shall be able to prosper. And we thank you, dear Lord, that our faith is going to increase tonight, because we have gathered to study your word.
Amen.
So now, God, we pray for each person that's going to join us and those who are going to hear this particular study by playback later. But we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We love you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said amen.
Amen.
Let's give God some thumbs up, some hearts, or some hand claps, whatever fits the mold for you tonight as we prepare for this time together. Lady Kim, this has been really an exceptional time in the Lord, as God has just rested in Atop and favored us highly, and we are humbled by that, and we don't take it for granted, nor do we take it lightly. And I tell you, God has been extremely good to us. Would you agree with me on
that? Yes,
he
has.
And here it is, a week away from Thanksgiving.
Oh, I can't believe it.
You can't believe it.
No, I was at work today and overheard some people saying next week was Thanksgiving. And I was like, next week is not Thanksgiving. And I looked at my desk calendar and I said, next week is Thanksgiving.
So you've already started prepping your turkey and everything for next
week? I have 3 cans of cranberry sauce on the shelf.
What?
So I think we're about ready for a cranberry Thanksgiving.
Well, that's something new.
Yeah, usually I have, you know, done quite a bit of shopping through here, but
Well, it's been a busy time for you.
Yes, it has.
And you were on last week when our good friend Dr. Holmes was still in town, and he just shared with us about his sermon on the Sunday before, as well as his book, Whatever Happened to Grace. Mm-hmm. And he talked about Mad About Grace. And we really just kind of had a time just going through that and kind of dissecting that and giving him an opportunity to kind of share and express what that book and what his sermon really was all about. Mm-hmm. And from all indications, from what I heard and what I've seen on his website, he did a part two at his own church yesterday, but he hadn't done a part one at his church. So he told his people to go ahead and tune in
to A-Top
to get part one. But we're grateful for friendship and for relationship. And this Sunday, yesterday, of course, we had a good, great time in the Lord, but we were absent of about 60 people. Mm-hmm. But
I wonder where they were.
I know, that's what I'm talking about right there. But God favored us on yesterday. And before we get into the sermon, just share with us a little bit about the women's retreat, because it seems from all reports that y'all had an excellent time in retreating and just relaxing and had some beach time and in the sand and had some powerful women of God who shared in that whole process over, 4 days?
3 days.
3 days?
Yes. So
well, you won't count that day on the bus, huh?
Oh, really? It was 2 days on the bus, but yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So, yes, we had a wonderful time in the Lord on the women's retreat. We made it safely to Destin, Florida, had a time of fellowship and sharing. Mm-hmm. And that Friday night we had a pajama panel where we talked about faith, family, finances, and relationships.
Okay.
And so we really had a great conversation with the ladies. And then we also had a time of prayer at that pajama panel. And then Saturday morning we had a workshop with Dr. Pauline.
Let's back up a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how the pajama panel, I might not be saying it correctly. What were some of the, you said faith, family,
finances, and relationships.
And relationship. Mm-hmm. So what was the essence of that, and how, and who were some of the panelists? And I'm not asking you to divulge. I know y'all were getting serious about talking about men and all of that, but I'm not asking you to divulge any of that. I just want to know how the panelists did and what was that all about.
Amen. Well, we had 5 panelists. Mm-hmm. Tiara Murray, Lynette Henderson, Dr. Crystal Williams, Patrice Moore, and Dr. Kwali Seymour.
Okay.
Were our panelists.
You kind of moderated that whole process.
Yes, I read the questions. The ladies submitted questions based around finances, family, faith, and relationships.
Okay.
And I just read, some of the questions that the ladies asked.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were similar. You know, most people have the same struggles.
Okay.
So I kind of picked out the ones that reoccurred the most, and that's what we talked about.
Okay.
Based around finances. And no, we did not hone in on men.
Okay. I'm not asking you.
It was just that overall general type thing. You know. For instance, when they...
you look like you had a little attitude when you said that, too. I mean...
When we talked about finances, you know, people were saying how can they get their finances in order, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about tithing being the key and, you know, putting things in order.
How did the women respond to that?
They listened. Mostly it was listening, a lot of listening.
Mm-hmm.
There was some back and forth responses. We talked about a couple of things, you know, mm-hmm. but by far, you know, the panelists gave the most succinct answers that they could.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, go ahead and Tell us a little bit about, you were getting ready to move into Friday night or Saturday morning?
That was Friday night when we had the pajama panel. And so Saturday morning, Dr. Kwali Seymour led us in a workshop where we looked or reflected on our past year from January through November. And kind of.
Dr. Kwali did some work?
She did some work.
What?
She did a great job. And we reflected on our year.
I know she's going to respond to that, but go ahead.
And then we talked about our year and how we can, how reflection is good and how we need to look back over, because it's many times we don't take time to reflect or look back. We just keep going with our momentum, and how important it is to reflect on how things have gone and the peaks and plunges of life.
Somebody say, I looked so sad Sunday without you. I don't think I even broke a smile. Oh, I didn't know I was looking that beautiful. it's just the absence when you're not there, and when the women are not there, and y'all had a great number that accompanied y'all.
We did.
And even though y'all were absent, some it was looked like it was about 60 or so people. But we had a great group that did over 100, probably about 115 people from what the Ursus told me.
Amen. That's
so
good.
Yeah, that's a good group. And so that we hope that same momentum continues to carry on even when y'all, you know, present in the worship service on
Amen.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
All right.
Sister Antoinette, the house was in order. Praise God. No pots burned or nothing. So we were, I was glad.
Nope.
The bed was even made up.
That's right.
So that's
right.
A good thing.
We had enough time to get everything back in order.
No dirty dishes in the sink.
None of that. Everything was like good. You left it. Yeah. So y'all ended with the workshop with Dr. Qualis we were talking about. That really went well for y'all.
It did. It went really well.
Perspective on the year and kind of setting the tone for the coming year.
Right. And then we also talked about, you know, when we plotted our year and saw the peaks and plunges, most of the time we had more good months than bad months.
Okay.
So, you know, when you look at it like that, sometimes in life you get so overwhelmed with your problems and stuck on your problems that you only see your problems. Mm-hmm. But when you look back overall, you know, your good days outweigh your bad days. Mm-hmm. And so we thank God for that. And then Dr. Crystal spoke prophetically to many of the women there in the group, and some breakthrough happened. So we just thank God for her spirit of prophecy.
Yeah,
I think that's one of her greatest or strongest gifts.
Absolutely.
Is the gift of prophecy.
And a lot of what she said has actually come to pass, and I can attest to that. And I know a lot of the women that she has, you know, prophesied over, they can attest to that as well. But that's one of her powerful gifts that she exhibits along with others. But that's probably at the top of the list in terms of her gifts that she uses in the body of Christ.
Amen. And then we ate dinner together. We went to restaurants and we ate dinner together. So that was a good thing. And then on Sunday we had worship on the beach.
Okay.
And we were kind of skeptical because it rained all day Saturday from the time we got up until Saturday night. And then Sunday, they went out early Sunday morning to survey the beach to see if it was suitable for worship. And they sent back a message saying that
somebody, the spies came back with a good report.
I was thinking the dove came back with the olive branch.
All right. That'll work.
Saying that everything was okay for us to worship on the beach. And it sure was beautiful. The sun was shining. It started out a little gloomy Sunday morning and a little cool, but by the time we got through with worship, the sun was shining and it had warmed up significantly.
That's great.
And so we had a great time in worship as Dr. Crystal Williams led us in worship on the beach. And then we loaded up on the bus and headed back from Memphis.
Okay. Sounds like it was a great time, and we're glad that y'all were able to get away and spend some time alone and just kind of... Did you get any rest during this time? I know you have a lot of other things that I see you blinking your eyes, but are you asleep?
I did get up early every morning and work on my schoolwork, but then I got back in the bed.
Okay.
And slept for a couple of hours and then got back up and started my day. I got up at 3:30 and 4 o'clock every morning and worked on schoolwork till about 6:30 or 7. Mm-hmm. And then I got back in the bed and got up around 9. I got up before breakfast was over and showered and rushed down for breakfast and got something to eat. And I must say that, you know, I was kind of losing faith in Embassy Suites because the last time that we stayed there, you know, the breakfast wasn't good and, you know, the...
They were still operating in COVID.
Yeah, still operating in COVID, man, but it seems like they finally broken through and the breakfast buffet was on point. The food was decent and... You know, so it was good. It was back
cooked
to
order.
It was back to what it was supposed to be. Yes, Sister Valerie, we weren't too far from you.
That's right.
So we'll let you know next time, and maybe you can just stop by for a day or so and visit with us.
Absolutely. Well, I know y'all didn't get a chance to really experience much of our worship service here at ATOP on yesterday because of the schedule.
Right.
But
We started out watching.
Did you?
We started out when we were on the beach. We started out watching the ATOP service. We saw the men, the male chorus singing, and the youngest guy on there, little Elijah, singing. He looked so handsome. Singing, and so we started out watching, but we had to go to our own worship service.
Right.
So,
well, it turned out to be a great time in the Lord, and then they had the mics wired for the band, and so they were adding additional voices to the male chorus that was singing, which really amplified the sound that they were having, and so we're certainly grateful, and it carried over to the Quince Nursing Home as well as they came and participated in the worship experience. And Minister Dana Walker did an excellent job at Quince, and the male chorus, of course, provided the songs. And Minister Olu, she stepped right up, and I don't know if Dr. Qualis had given her instruction. Dr. Butler was there, of course. But Minister Olu really handled her business and made sure everything was in order.
Amen.
And so it was a great time on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And even after the worship experience in the office, Ms. Patricia Didlake came in with, it was about three people that she brought into the office, and it was her neighbor and her two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they indicated that they wanted to be baptized.
Amen. Wonderful.
And so it was powerful, and we went ahead and took them in, and Dr. Butler was present as we brought them into the body of Christ, and they will be baptized this Sunday along with the others that we have already scheduled. So that'll probably be about five or six people that will be baptized this Sunday as we prepare for our worship in the house of the Lord. But even as we have talked about that, we're certainly grateful for all that God is doing, and the Lord continues to add to the church daily, such as should be saved. And Lady Kim, I know we have a few more minutes before we jump into the study. This is a little off of the main course of action. Well, no, I'll say that for the last. Let's talk a little bit about the sermon on yesterday. You want me to do that?
Sure, because I wasn't there. I don't know what it was.
It's a familiar, passage of scripture, and you're well aware. This really is a sermon that I had preached back some while ago, but I shuffled some of the things that I had said, and I allowed the Lord to breathe afresh on that word, and so the title was Messed Up But Usable.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I started out with an illustration about the times when we first got started and how many people wore different hats. And I really use you as the primary example in the start of the sermon, talking about how you were the voice in the choir, you were, you know, working in the office, and you had, you wore many hats, just like all of those who started out with us when we, from the hotel to when we began to move forward. There were quite a few of different people who were doing different things until we came up with a system in terms of how we could support the growth that God was doing and how the ministry was moving forward. But we talked about, you remember when you were in the office and the copier was acting up, and there were some blemishes on the on some of the copies, and we had called in the computer people to come in. And you had already ran a stack of the bulletins, the dispatch at that time. And you put a yellow sticky note on the ones that that you had already ran before the copier people got there. And you had on there messed up but usable. And so I used that as a point of reference, a jumping off point, if you will, and how many times in our lives there are defects that we really can't see unless we begin to look real close. And so it was with those dispatches that you had ran. You had to look real close to see the defects in those bulletins, and how all of us have issues, all of us have situations that we are dealing with and that we are going through. And if the truth be told, if you look close enough, you'll see the defects. But many times I think people try to hide or cover up their defects. And sometimes it's as a result of that, they don't have the kind of relationships that they could thrive in, because they don't want people to see just how messed up they really are. You know, they don't want to be exposed, and they don't want their defects to come forth. And so we talked about that. And then we had several points that we lifted up in the text we used, was in Second Corinthians 4:7-9. Right. And how it, Paul talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and how we are pressed on every side, but by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. And so really what I was trying to get the people to see through these points, and this is point number one, was that brokenness produces blessedness, and how oftentimes the vessel is so important. But when the vessel that carries precious cargo, and that's our vessel as well, when it's broken, it spills over and it blesses others. And then it also gives us an opportunity to be a blessing. And I talked a little bit about how it's not your condition, but it's what's on the inside of you that matters most. And so many times we get to a point of not understanding the power that we possess in order to overcome the issues that we face. For the Bible reminds us that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. And talking about what we have on the inside of us that should sustain us in the midst of what looks like a broken, messed up situation, God has placed something valuable on the inside of all of us as believers. And so we must focus on the treasure, not the vessel. The treasure's on the inside. The vessel might be broken, but God is going to sustain the treasure. And then we must focus on the master and not the mess.
Amen.
Sometimes we get so caught up in what we're going through till we fail to see the God who's able to see us through. And so that's really what we were just kind of zeroing in on, how we can, all of us have been messed up. All of us have had issues. All of us have gone through some things, but we're still usable. And so we ought not ever get to the point of thinking that God can't use us, our condition is beyond the repair of God. And so that was the essence of of that particular sermon that I preached on yesterday.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We have any comments there?
Not pertaining to the sermon. We have a comment pertaining to something that's going to take place this coming Sunday.
Okay.
I believe we're going to have our baby dedication this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a question, what's the difference between a baby dedication and a christening?
Okay. Well, they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And really, it's probably the age difference, the age limit, if you will. When a baby is christened or dedicated, it's usually in the first couple of years of that baby's life. And we really don't want to go too far beyond that. When they get to be 3-4 years old, then they are past that dedication and that christening stage. So you see most people bring babies that are still in their arms. And we have in the past dedicated some that were outside of that age range. But we really want to try, and what we try to emphasize when we have our meetings with them is that once they get 3-4 years old, then they need to be preparing themselves for baptism.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, when you talk about christening and dedication, like you said, in christening, the baby is held in the arms.
Mm-hmm.
Dedication, you know, it can be a little older.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about christening and dedication, it's really not a lot of difference there.
Right.
You know, it's just like saying, soda and Coke, you know, same thing.
Soda and pop.
Just calling it a different thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or saying envelope and envelope, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Dedication and christening, same thing. The important thing is with dedication is where the parents are dedicating themselves
right.
to bring up the child in the love and admonition
that's right.
of God.
That's right.
You know, christening more or less states that the baby is, you know, being dedicated and offered to God. But in a dedication, not only is the baby being dedicated to God, but the parents are dedicating themselves
that's right.
to God.
To be the example.
To be the Christian example.
That's right.
And the leader in the household that the baby needs to see in order to make that next step, which mm-hmm. is baptism.
That's right. And so we hope that we answered that. But we're in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, and there are 23 verses there. We want to share just a little bit about what's happening here. And if we have enough time, we can move into the 27th chapter, mm-hmm. which there are nine verses there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was thinking and what I think I made mention of earlier, Lady Kim, is that we can really kind of recap without reading all mm-hmm. of these verses mm-hmm. in terms of the new reign of King Uzziah
mm-hmm.
and how he fell in the same pattern almost as those who had gone before him. And he was true to character when he started. He was young. He was 16 years old, and he took on the leadership and the reign. But Uzziah's reign really kind of mirrored that of Josiah and those who had gone before him. They started out strong, but they ended up in disgrace.
Right.
And part of what I was emphasizing when I said there's a lesson for us as leaders today is that we have to stay the course. And I think if these things happen to those who God had entrusted to lead a nation, then that same anointing, if you will, falls upon us as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't just allow this to be words on a piece of paper that happened centuries and years and years and years ago and not make the application real for us even today.
Amen. That's good. And so the 26th chapter, like you said, you know, talks about a pattern
mm-hmm.
Of kingship. Of what happens in the past. We've had good kings, kings that loved God, kings who followed after God, And then we've had a pattern of bad kings.
Right.
And then we've had a pattern of kings who started out good, but who ended up bad.
That's right.
Or kings that got off track. Mm-hmm. And so here again, we're going to see a king that did right before God, but then he turned around and did something wrong.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we can use as an emphasis for what this particular chapter, and I think we've already illustrated it, is that it was a sad ending to a promising start. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we start out on fire. We start out excited and have the zeal. And then we get caught up in personal agendas and power struggles and trying to we replace God with our own agenda and our own power issues till we lose sight of the presence of God in our lives. And that's the application I think that is real important for us to carry, particularly our leaders. We're getting ready to have kingdom leadership interviews.
What is our kingdom conference interviews.
Confirmation interviews are starting this week with those who just finished the Institute for Leadership Training. And that's one of the key things. You have to finish. God's looking for finishers. Yeah, we need finishers. We don't need to just jump out there and
start something.
Anybody can start something. Mm-hmm. But can you finish?
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Mm-hmm. So you can read. You're going to read all of that, Lady Kim, or you want to just summarize it and we want to move on because we have about another 25 minutes. I mean, basically, what we've already summarized is what you're going to read, unless there's something particular that you want to bring out of that 26th chapter.
Well, one of the things that...
Well, let's just go ahead and read it.
Yeah, I think there's some important things in there that need to be highlighted. And so we're in 2 Chronicles 26. Some people say Uzziah, some people say Uzziah, but either way, you know, tomato, tomato, envelope, however you want to say it, you know who we are talking about. So 2 Chronicles 26, chapter verse 1, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king to succeed his father Amaziah. He rebuilt Elioth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem.
52 years.
Okay. His mother's name was Jecholi of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper.
That's right.
I think that's key right there. Key. As long as he sought the Lord,
that's right,
God made him prosper.
For those just joining, we're in the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles.
That was the 5th verse.
Okay.
You know, the end of the 5th verse. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabineth and the wall of Ashdod. He built cities in the territories of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabs who lived in Gerbal, and against the Menuites. And the Amorites paid tribute to Uzziah. And his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Mm-hmm. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the angle, and fortified them. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed out many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in the Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war, in divisions according to the number in the muster made by the secretary Jeliel and the officer Messiah, Messiah, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of the ancestral house of mighty warriors was 2,600. Under their command was an army and 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Uzziah provided for all the army and the shields, the spears, the helmets, the coats of mail, bows and stones for slings. In Jerusalem, he set up machines invented by skilled workers on the towers and the corners for shooting arrows and large stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped until he became strong. You want to stop right there? That was at verse 15.
Well, no, I think it's all obvious because it says until he became strong. Mm-hmm. It's really talking about how he kind of lost sight of his first goal was to please God. Mm-hmm. And once he received popularity and wealth and fame and how it spread abroad throughout the kingdom, he started seeking more power for himself than he did for using it to please God.
Right. Mm-hmm. And his pride got in the way.
His pride got in the way.
He was so powerful now that his pride got in the way. Verse 16, but when he had become strong, he grew proud. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
To his destruction. Amen. For he was false to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to make offering on the altar of incense. But the priest Azariah went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. They withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it's not for you, Uzziah, to make offering to the Lord, but for the priests and the descendants of Aaron who are consecrated to make offering. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God.
Let's stop right there, because Uzziah is taking on a priestly role here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's almost bogarting in terms of him going into the temple and doing priestly duties.
Mm-hmm.
But the priests rallied and they stopped him so that he wouldn't desecrate the temple.
Mm-hmm. They tried to stop him before mm-hmm. he went in.
Right.
Yes. But he was still disobedient.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's verse number 19.
Uh-huh. Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had a cistern in his hand to make offering. A censer in his hand to make offering. And when he became angry with the priest, a leprous disease broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. When the chief priest Azariah and all the priests looked at him, he was leprous in his forehead. They hurried him out, and he himself hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was leprous to the day of his death and being leprous, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. His son Jotham was in charge of the palace of the kings, governing the people and the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to last, the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, wrote, Uzziah slept with his ancestors. They buried him near his ancestors in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said he is leprous. His son Jotham succeeded him.
Okay. So I think from verse 19 to the end, we see that it doesn't pay to disobey God.
Amen.
And God did a quick work on him. I mean, he struck him in his forehead, so it would be clear for everyone to see
mm-hmm.
that he was coming down with a mad disease.
Mm-hmm.
And they rushed him out, and he was ready to get out
mm-hmm.
because he had, God struck him with leprosy.
Amen.
And so, we all oftentimes talk about the grace and the mercy of God and the long-suffering of God. But God is a jealous God. And God has a way of making sure that he gets his way. Mm-hmm. And he has a way of letting you know that you're not just going to do anything and, right. and try to take over and right. be in charge.
Yeah.
He's still God. Mm-hmm. He rules with hand of power and heart of love. And if we're right, he'll fight our battles. But when we go astray, God's going to make sure he lets us know who's in charge.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the priests were set apart mm-hmm. for the worship.
That's
and
right.
taking care of God's house.
That's right.
And Uzziah was not a priest.
No.
You know, and I think we talked about this some time ago that all priests come from the tribe of Levi.
Right.
But all Levites are not priests.
That's right. That's right.
So these priests were set apart for the keeper of God's house mm-hmm. or the temple. And Uzziah clearly was not.
Yeah.
You know, he was a king. And mm-hmm. so when he went in there to do what he was trying to do, and they stopped him, like you said, mm-hmm. then and he continued to try to do that, then he was struck with leprosy.
Well, there's a lot of application for us today, Lady Kim, because what as you were talking, I was reflecting over the ordination of you and Dr. Qualise. And once you are set apart and God has elevated you to a place of leadership and authority in the house, then you have a right to defend the house mm-hmm. and not just That's let good. Anyone come in and try to. I mean, it's time for us to join arms and ranks when we see something that's not of God mm-hmm. trying to invade what God has already set in place.
Amen. That's good.
And so that's a lesson for us. And so I know you and Dr. Qualise, I don't know if y'all are doing your strength training or not, but mm-hmm. there will come a time mm-hmm. where your faith will be tested and your faith will be tried.
Amen.
There will come a time when the enemy will try and raise his ugly head mm-hmm. and see if you are really who you say you are.
Amen.
And so we have to be clear in terms of what God has called us to do and what is our responsibility in terms of defending that which God has placed us over.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Dr. Qualise, that's right. This oil ain't easy.
That's it. That's it.
Amen. Brother Martez says our first priority daily is obeying God, keeping his commandments. With God for us, nothing can be against us, and no weapon formed against us will be
Hallelujah.
Able to prosper.
That's right.
Thank
That's
you,
good.
Brother Martez.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Let's slip on over to 27, Reverend, and I think there are only 7 verses. Any closing thoughts or any word that you would rest on in terms of what we can take away from 26?
Well, you know, his sin was punished in mm-hmm. that... one of the lessons that we can learn is that we have to accept that God causes things to go well when we obey him.
Mm-hmm.
He fights our battles and allows us, for example, to build, to plant, to provide, to water, to ready soldiers for war, and to be powerful. And accept that forgetting God leads to our wrong or doing wrong
right,
things.
Right.
And that we are, you know, when we forget God, then we're removing ourselves from his blessings.
That's good.
You know, him giving us no honor but punishing us instead.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to remember that he punished Uzziah with a skin illness that caused his death.
Right. Right.
So, you know, people made Uzziah king. He didn't do right after
well,
he became.
Right.
He did right. And then after mm-hmm. he, you know,
Had
got
power.
Full of himself
yeah,
and
right.
gained power, he went in to try to burn incense on the altar.
Right.
You know, he lost sense of what it was that.
Things of God and what his role was.
Right, what his role was. That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to mm-hmm. say. He lost sense of what his role and responsibility was, and he tried to go over into somebody else's lane.
Okay, okay. That's a good lesson that's applicable for us. Well, there are only, 9 verses here in this 27th chapter. And we see that his son is now taking the reins in Judah.
Yes, Jotham.
Jotham.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. Only he did not invade the temple of the Lord. But the people still followed corrupt practices. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord and did extensive building on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in the hill country of Judah and forts in the towns on the wooded hills. He fought with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. The Ammonites gave him that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The Ammonites paid him the same amount in the second and the third years. So Jotham became strong because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and his wars and his ways were written in the books of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Jotham slept with the ancestors, and they buried him in the city of David. And his son Ahaz succeeded him.
Okay, so there's a pattern there, and Jotham seems to be more on track even than his dad. He had a weight on him that the people had gotten into a corrupt pattern because of what Uzziah had set in motion, and so that was probably one of his tallest challenges in terms of trying to get those who were doing corrupt and living a corrupt life to change from their wicked ways. Because with that corruption, no doubt, they began to experience power themselves. And but he reigned for how many years?
16 years.
And they buried him in with the ancestors in the city of David. And so that's a clear signal that God's favor was resting on him, because had they not buried him in the city of David, it would have been a clear evidence that God was not pleased with him.
Amen. And one of the things that, you know, when we're talking about the world behind the text, we're talking about what the situation was back then. In order to become powerful, what these kings and people, they were ruthless back then. They were not the nice little fairy tale kings that we see in the books that we read.
Right.
They were ruthless. And the only way that they gained power was by going in and conquering neighboring towns, cities, and countries. And so that's how they gained power, and you stayed powerful by gaining property or by gaining areas. And so here he goes against the Ammonites and fights and wars against the Ammonites, and he gains power through them. So he continues to add to what his dad did, you know. And whenever they would conquer an area, they would go in and build up or fortify that city. And you know, people understood that back then.
Right.
That if you know, a king came in and conquered, they became their property.
That's,
and they
right.
just fell in line with whatever that king told them to do. And so the lesson that, you know, we can learn from this 27th chapter is that we're not to repeat the mistakes of our forefathers. You know, our fathers. We're to build up. And the example back then are, you know, they built up the temple gates. They built up the towns. They built up the soldiers and in the forest. And you know, they were able to overcome and to fight against or become a mightier army against their foes.
Okay. So our legacy should be of such that we leave a clear path for those who are coming behind us so that they can build upon our successes and learn from our failures.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
And one of the things we have to understand, we're not like the kings back then that we conquer nations, but we are to conquer our enemy,
which is
the devil,
which is
Satan, which is evil. Mm-hmm. And then we are to build up the body of Christ against Satan. And so we are to build a fortress, a mighty fortress in the kingdom of God, which is the church, to fight against the wiles and the evils of the enemy.
Okay. Well, we've covered 26 and 27 tonight, and those of you who are still with us, we're certainly grateful for you tuning in tonight as we prepare to close out. We want to lift up any prayer requests that you might have. If there are requests, then go ahead and put them in the comment box there so that we might add them to the list of various prayer requests. We believe in the power of prayer. There's power in prayer. And God reminds us that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so prayer can change your situation. And if it doesn't change your situation, you can count on it that it's going to change you.
Amen.
And sometimes we want God to change our situation when God is really trying to do a work in us so that we can be ready to deal with whatever situation that we find ourselves in.
Amen. I don't see anything in the chat right now, any prayer requests. But I know we do have a few prayer requests
from last week.
Yes.
Dwayne Taylor, he texted me and said that his brother-in-law had passed.
Mm.
And so I talked with him on Sunday extensively, and he said that he would get back with us in terms of any final arrangements. Mm. And I told him I would pass that on.
Okay.
So that we can have
that. So sorry
here. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. And we have Sister Pat Echols. We're going to lift her up. She had knee replacement surgery. We most certainly want to lift her up in prayer. We want to lift up Sister Carol Taylor. I'm assuming that was her brother, or maybe not.
No, I asked him specifically, and he said it was.
Okay. We want to lift up Sister Carol Taylor in the loss of her brother. That's Brother Dwayne Taylor's brother-in-law. And then we want to lift up Sister Loretta Perkins' mother. Mm-hmm. She went on the women's retreat with us and had a wonderful time on the retreat and got to the church last night and tripped and fell on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, she's broken something in her wrist, broken a bone in her wrist. And so we want to lift her up in our prayers, Mother Perkins. Geraldine Orange, Sister Geraldine Orange, was scheduled to go on the trip with us and got sick at the last minute. Talked to her on Saturday night. She's feeling much better, but we still want to lift up Sister Geraldine Orange. Also, Sister Alice Howard, she went on the women's trip, and as soon as she got there, she got sick.
Mm.
And she was in the room almost the entire weekend, not feeling well. So we want to lift up Sister Alice Howard. Sister Janet Jones is asking for traveling mercies as she continues to go back and forth, I think, to Chicago and take care of sick family members. So we want to lift up Sister Janet Jones and traveling mercies for her. And thank you, Sister Janet, and everyone for all of the wonderful gifts for ordination.
Yeah.
Amen. I just thank God for you all pouring into me. And I'm going to ask God to bless you real good.
Amen.
For blessing me. I put that beautiful statue in my office so that I can create some conversation around that. So thank you so much.
Well, Sister Janet was very intentional and deliberate about me not dropping it. And so I had her to help me escort your package to the office on yesterday, because I didn't want to be accused of dropping what was in the bag. I didn't look at, I was so nervous, I didn't even look in the bag.
Well, I understand why, because it was the way the statue was with the lady's hand up. If it got bumped or, you know, dropped, the little piece would have broken off. It's just that fragile.
Oh, okay.
But it made it in one piece. It made it to my office in one piece. It's sitting on the shelf, sitting out in the open, so I can have that as a talking point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen.
All right.
So, again, we want to lift up Brother Jerry Perkins also in our prayers. Another Perkins family, but
that's right.
A different Perkins family. Lift up Brother Jerry Perkins. If nothing else, did you have anything, Pastor?
No, we're getting ready, as I was going to mention earlier, to encourage you as you prepare for your dissertation and your project.
Amen.
And I think there are a series of sermons that you're getting ready to really pour into the congregation in terms of setting us up for what you're going to present in terms of your workshop.
Amen. And this first sermon is just going to be an introductory, you know, introducing really what it's all about and what I'm going to do. So
so you want me to have you to come at the end of the service?
That'll be good. That's a good idea.
Well, no, here's what you can do. You can do that part two on Messed Up But Usable, and then you can tell us about what you want us to do in terms of your project.
Okay, that might work.
Yeah. Okay. Just trying to help you. I know you got a lot to carry, but I'm here to assist and help in any way I can. And something to think about.
We'll pray about that.
Okay, all right. Good. All right.
Any other, and we thank God for Traveling Mercies.
Right.
My sister and my classmate and her granddaughter came on the women's retreat. They left here about 6-something this morning, made it home around 2:30 this afternoon.
They was moving
so
pretty good.
To God be the glory for Traveling Grace and Mercy for them as they went back home.
And getting ready to do a turnaround for Thanksgiving.
She's going to come back for Thanksgiving. So that'll be 3 times this month. My sister will have been with me more. I've seen her more this year than I have in the past few years.
Yeah.
So, amen.
All right. Well, will you close us with a word of prayer?
Sure. Gracious God in heaven, we approach your throne in grace of grace and mercy on tonight. And we give you thanks and praise for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for the examples set by kings and how we can live our lives and not make the same mistakes. God, we lift up the sick to you tonight. We lift up those who are bereaved tonight. God, we ask that you would go and touch Mother Perkins right now, God.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Heal her body from that fall, God, as only you can. Continue to touch Sister Geraldine Orange and Sister Alice Howard, God, as they recover from their illnesses. Continue to touch Sister Pat Eccles, that knee, oh God.
Thank you, God.
Continue to touch Brother Jerry Perkins, God, as he goes through the different tests that he has to go through. God, we lift up Sister Carol Taylor to you in the loss of her brother. We ask that you would give her peace that surpasseth all understanding as she grieves the loss of her family member. And we ask, God, that you would surround her with your love and your peace and your comfort as she continues to strive to be all that you would have her to be. Now, oh God, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you that you continue to show up and shower down on ATOP your blessings, your choices blessings as we continue to go forth. We love you. We thank you. We bless you and we honor you for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you will do. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen. Praise God. All right. Well,
amen.
Until next time.
Thank you, everybody,
y'all
for
be
joining.
Blessed. Yes.
Be blessed. Love you guys. Bye-bye.